Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. 1 year ago today, the Tsarnaev brothers were still on the loose, and already conspiracy theories that the Boston Marathon bombings had been committed by the U.S. government were bubbling up on the internet. Although they come from many different places, the conspiracy theorist community is rather tight-knit and does not respond well when one of its own defects. Charlie Veach found that out. He's a video blogger, self-styled anarchist, and a once vocal member of the 9/11 truther movement. Charlie was a respected voice among truthers with thousands of online followers, but then he changed his mind.
I've lost friends. I've lost people very close to me over this. I had nothing to gain from changing my own mind. I had everything to lose.
Alex Miller is head of Vice UK. He wrote about Charlie's transformation from 9/11 theorist to conspiracy outcast. I spoke with him last year and asked how big a player Charlie Veach was in the 9/11 truther movement.
Well, he was quite a big player. I mean, people like David Icke and Alex Jones, the kind of celebrated media heads of the movement, liked him. And I think that's because he was young, he was charismatic. He was everything that you don't expect conspiracy theorists to be, because quite often they're kind of paranoid people who spend a lot of time behind a laptop screen. So they kind of jumped on board with Charlie, kind of thought that perhaps he could be a poster boy for their movement. I don't know, the sexy conspiracy theorist or something.
Well, the photogenic Charlie was chosen to come to the U.S. as part of a BBC documentary called 9/11 Conspiracy Road Trip. This was in June of 2011. Tell us a little bit about this film.
It was a really strange film. It was put together as part of the 10th anniversary of 9/11 programming on the BBC. But they basically got, for some reason, a relatively famous comedian from the UK called Andrew Maxwell to take a busload of 9/11 truthers around, meeting people who had actually been involved in the tragedies, i.e. relatives of people who died or experts who could tell you why it was that the planes had actually flown into those buildings and why it was that, the hole in the side of the Pentagon was the shape it was. All of these little facts that conspiracy theorists have jumped upon and kind of warped to back their own kind of paranoid fantasy about it. And most of the people on this trip were as kind of close-minded as you expect conspiracy theorists to be. But to Charlie's credit, halfway through, after he'd been confronted by a lot of experts and they'd given him a lot of compelling evidence, he had a kind of moment of revelation, and he posted a video of himself in Times Square, possibly a bad idea because it made him look a bit like he was showing off that he was on holiday, but just saying that he'd actually had his mind changed and that it was important, you know, if you're going to call your group 9/11 truthers, if he discovered something which he believed was the truth, i.e. that the official statements of what happened on that day actually did happen, then it was important for him to kind of believe that and admit it and not just stay kind of emotionally involved with the conspiratorial beliefs that he'd had before.
Here's a clip of that video, Charlie Veach in Times Square, holding the camera to his face.
So the mind boggles. This reality, this universe is truly one of smokescreens, illusions, and wrong paths, but also the right path, which is always be committed to the truth. Do not hold on to science. Sorry, do not hold on to religious dogma. If you're presented with new evidence, take it on, even if it contradicts what you or your group might be believing or wanting to believe. You have to give the truth the greatest respect, and I do.
That's Charlie Veach. He's a former 9/11 conspiracy theorist who pretty much changed his mind about 9/11. I'm speaking with Alex Miller. He's head of Vice UK. He wrote about Charlie's transformation and the reaction within the conspiracy community, which was what, Alex?
Well, everyone was very furious. Everybody who had previously championed Charlie suddenly hated him. Depending on what kind of blogs you read, he was either a kind of CIA implant had been put into the truther movement to try and undermine it, or a Satanist, or brainwashed, or just a plain idiot. But they were furious. They hacked his Facebook page, pasting kind of child pornography over it and that kind of thing. He received death threats. His girlfriend at the time, who was part of the truther movement, split up with him. And he was basically just kind of hounded. He went from a kind of hero to zero.
Putting the picture of Charlie aside for a moment, what do you think he and others like him got out of the truther community? There must have been some benefit.
Well, I think that there's a lot of benefit being part of that kind of community, partly because if you believe that you are one of just a few people able to see through the lies spread by media-controlled society, then I imagine that gives you a great sense of power. You feel like, I don't know, Neo in The Matrix or something like that, that everyone else is kind of asleep through their lies and your eyes have suddenly been opened. I also think that it's a great way to defer responsibility for your life. If you truly believe that the planet is kind of being run to within a decimal place by these kind of New World Order organizations, then there's suddenly a great reason why you might not necessarily have achieved everything you've ever wanted to. You know, it's not your fault. It's the fault of the shadowy elite who won't let the individuals express themselves.
After the sort of violent response to Charlie's defiance of the Truther movement, what does that tell us about the Truther movement in itself? Is there any science or research on the psychological makeup of people who are conspiracy theorists?
I mean, I've never seen any research into the psychological makeup of people who are conspiracy theorists, but I imagine it's just the same as anyone who really kind of desperately believes something. I think that once you've put 10 years of your life into shouting about something, it's going to be very, very difficult to then admit that it was all nonsense.
So, Alex, what's it been like for Charlie? I mean, that's a pretty vehement reaction for the community to have against him.
I think it was really difficult. I mean, ultimately, he's a nice guy and doesn't deserve any of this. But I think that he has, he's better off for it. I think that he kind of finally feels that he's dug himself out of a paranoid hole. And, you know, I mean, he's still a protester and he's still politically motivated. He just doesn't necessarily believe in the conspiratorial dogma. But it was very, very difficult. I think for a few months he was having a really tough time. But I know now he's got a kid and is happy and stuff, so that's all good. It all ends happily.
All ends happily. In your article, you admit that to some degree, conspiracy theories are inspired in part by real conspiracies. What did you mean by that?
I guess I meant by that I believe that we were, you know, on some basic levels lied to in order to join the Iraq war, and that itself is a conspiracy. It's just one that's very open and everyone knows about. Do you know what I mean? And I think that obviously governments do operate in the shadows sometimes, but it's not fake moon landings and it's not fake 9/11s. I think that ultimately the world is largely as we see it.
Well, I also know that, you know, what you're talking about is evidence-based conspiracy versus, I don't know, kind of out there conspiracy. And it seems that people can find evidence of whatever they're looking for if they want to find it. So, I mean, do you see Charlie as some sort of sojourner for truth?
I think he's always been looking for some kind of truth. I mean, after 9/11 first happened, he joined the British military because he believed it was his responsibility to go and fight in the Middle East and defend, the West from extreme Islamists. And then he became a banker, and then he became a conspiracy theorist. I mean, he's always been looking for some kind of truth. I guess now he stumbled across a truth that most of us kind of will sign up to, that the world is a messed up place with some bad people in it, but is not kind of a fantasy world of Dungeons and Dragons where magic can happen and where hundreds of thousands of people collude to commit murder in order for capital gain.
Let's listen to some evidence of, I guess, coming to peace. This was uploaded on April 10th, 2013. An introduction to a concept he's come up with. This is called Indigene.
Indigene is about a free reality. Indigene is about the recognition of your consciousness self-stating, I am. And I just want to state, I am Indigene, because I belong to this land. I'm a human being, forged from incredible geometry, incredible efficiency, incredible mathematical, and potentially spiritual rules in this world, which is my world. I am. I am this world, and you are this world. And the phrase I saw recently,
you know, I listen to him and I think he sounds a little crazy, or he could sound like somebody who, I don't know, a new self-help guru. I'm not really sure. Is there a fine line here?
I don't know. He just sounds like a hippie to me. I mean, that's just the kind of thing that people say after they've been smoking a lot of joints or living in Goa for too long. I mean, I've never heard that clip before, but effectively he's saying, my revelation is that I exist and things exist and isn't that remarkable? And that's no different from any David Attenborough show, do you know what I mean?
Alex Miller, head of Vice UK, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much.
You can read Alex Miller's article about Charlie Veitch at wordofmouthradio.org. Stay with us. After the break, we're going to hear the heavy rhythm of poet Willie Perdromo. That's when Word of Mouth continues on NHPR.